Joshua Charles Spicer. His book is Coffee with Hitler, The Untold Story of the Amateur Spies Who Tried to Civilize the Nazis. And their failure does not undermine the credit they deserve for seeking peace. They couldn't see the future. They could know the past, which was the horror of the Great War. A whole generation and a half, dead on the battlefield for nothing, no gain, and a breakup of families and empires. We now come to Victoria Station. Charles tells me, Victoria Station, arriving are the Ribbentrops, Annalise and Joachim Ribbentrop, to represent Germany as the new ambassador, replacing a man who was extremely successful. What is Ribbentrop's mission as he arrives? What has Hitler told him to do, Charles?
Hitler's asked him to forge an alliance with the British. And this is a simplistic plan to just pick off all his potential obstacles towards continental domination. If he can neutralize the British by whatever means, then he can do what he wants on the continent.
So the initial mission then is cynical on the Hitler's part. He wants Britain in some way blocked by a demonstration of friendship so he can go ahead and persecute what we know to be his neighbors. It was starting with Austria and Czechoslovakia and Poland, and then eventually the Low Countries and France. So is Ribbentrop perfectly aware of this, that his job is to block and befuddle the English and not to be friends with them?
It's to form an alliance by being friends with them, but for those cynical reasons that you outlined. So the desire for friendship was sincere. The motivations were to allow them to do the rest of their program. They really didn't want to go to war with Britain. They were comfortable going to war with others.
Ribbentrop does us the favor right away of being clumsy because he gives press remarks on the station platform, Victoria Station, prior to presenting his credentials to the king. And therefore, he's pilloried in the newspapers immediately. There are other decisions that he and his wife, Annalise, makes that require, Charles says, you have to understand the British sense of humor. They like to make fun of newcomers. And the Ribbentrops have no sense of humor, or they just skip that chapter of English living. What is it, Charles?
They have no sense of humor and very thin skins, particularly his wife, Annalise. She realizes that having initially welcomed in, thought he was, they were quite positive about Ribbentrop, that the Ribbentrops were welcomed into upper class London society. But because he makes these gaffes, he does the Hitler salute in front of the king. To the king's surprise, you bow in front of the king. You don't do a Hitler salute. King's so surprised, he nearly falls backwards off the dais. This is all repeated in the press. And he's preening. He's very proud, Ribbentrop. And the English quite like to tease people like that. And if people don't like being teased, the English tend to tease them even more. So this escalates.
There is a new king, George VI. And we will come to his inauguration soon enough. But there's also a new British ambassador, English ambassador to Berlin, who is enormously important, but completely unknown to me until you explicated Neville Henderson, who is a man from Argentina, the ambassador to Argentina. Is he aware that he's suffering cancer at this point, or does that come up over these next years, Charles?
That comes up, yes. He's not ill at this point, but it develops relatively quickly.
The reason I mention is that changes people's opinions of the world with it. And today, it's still true, though it is no longer a death sentence because of our science. But in 1936-37, it would have been the end, counting down to the end. I'm trying to find a way to explain Henderson's willful blindness to the regime. Do you have an explanation for why he ignored or why he didn't communicate the facts?
It's very interesting. There's a couple of academics who've studied him in some depth. He's a puzzling. And Vansittart admitted he made a huge mistake because he actually put him up. He was deemed to be good with dictators. And he was quite right-wing himself. He admired their ability to get things done. He'd been quite close to the king of Yugoslavia, who was effectively a dictator in a previous time. And he's charged by Chamberlain to ensure that we don't antagonize Hitler and his regime. And so he takes that to heart and is paranoid of doing anything that might upset Hitler. So I think he does realize how dangerous Hitler is and how much he's rearming. And his solution is that therefore we should give him whatever he wants rather than try to challenge him. So he's not naive about the threat. He is, with benefit of hindsight, wrong about the potential solution.
The book is Coffee with Hitler, the untold story of the amateur spies who tried to civilize the Nazis. We're headed to the inauguration, May of 37, and the plot lays out before us what is the threat coming up from the Nazis. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,